Welcome back, Raw Thoughts listeners. I want to thank you once again for coming on and listening for another week, another episode, and another story. So Raw Thoughts, we bring individuals on. I say we, but it's really me, where we bring individuals on and just hear what their life story is, where they're going, what they've done, what makes them them. So today I have Jordan Shaw, Boise folks. If you were at Jody Messina, he actually was the opener. So country singer, he's a songwriter, does all of the things around here locally. so many different events that you're at. So welcome on, Jordan.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely.
It's really good to be here, Mackenzie. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us about yourself. How did you get into music? Who is Jordan Shaw?
Oh, shoot, man. All right. Well, here goes. I'm going to try to just kind of keep this as raw as possible.
Perfect.
So I grew up in a small town in North Carolina called Gastonia, North Carolina. Now, have you ever heard of Gastonia? Are you familiar
No.
with it? Okay. So it's about, I'd say it's about an hour out of Charlotte, hour west of Charlotte. And man, I love my time growing up there. You know, I was always something of a really shy kid. In fact, and I think it's ironic, kind of ironic to this day with what I'm doing. But I actually, in elementary school, they made an award for me and gave me this award called the Shy Award, because that's how little I spoke and just in the way that I kind of carried myself and whatnot. And so I remember, you know, growing up in the South, growing up in the family I was in, Christianity, the gospel is always very closely tied to my upbringing. And so I was around 8 years old, where I just kind of felt like that was a good direction for my life to go. And I ended up giving my life to the Lord and kind of walking with the gospel, and or at least that was the beginning of that. And I say after about a month after that, I realized that I didn't want to be someone who was afraid to speak or afraid to put myself out there, so to speak. And so I started doing like one brave thing a day and kind of coaching myself through that and walking through this process of trying to, you know, whether it was opening the door for somebody or talking to someone that I'd never met, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I was kind of starting to play guitar at this point. My mom is a musician, and she started showing me some things, and I had kind of gotten my first starter guitar, so to speak, and starting to play around on that. And in doing those brave things and also doing music, I realized that maybe they could be fused into one. And so, like, you know, nothing to me at that time would have been utterly more terrifying than performing in front of people or singing. And, you know, and walking with God at the time, I felt like, well, man, I want to do gospel music. Let's try this. And so I think the first thing I did, I was probably playing guitar about 6 months at that, and I sang a gospel song for my church. And that's just kind of, it was kind of in that moment I realized, man, I really, like, this is something special. I love music, and I think that I need to kind of walk with this and kind of see what God does in my life. And so, you know, fast forward years of singing gospel music and kind of growing up in the church. When I was 18, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and took my first, it was like a ministry school slash job called the residency down at this big church in Atlanta called 12 Stone. And I worked there for 2 years and learned and kind of grew up under those guys. And then they sent me out to help plant a church here in Boise. And that's how I landed in Boise, Idaho.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. So a lot of people don't know this story, but you know, that is what brought me here to Idaho. And so I did that about a year. And then I kind of realized working in church and getting kind of a paycheck for that, and just having a relationship with God, saying gospel, man, just because you love it, can be two different things. And kind of in my scenario, I was starting to feel a little bit burned out because, you know, I'd done it in some way or another since I was 9 or 10 years old. And so,
yeah,
you know, we're talking 10 plus years. And so I left there, nothing crazy, just felt like I needed to try something different. I sang at some other churches around the area for a while and kind of like was feeling out the gospel thing a little bit. And I just kind of realized that, like, man, I'm spent. Like, I think that I've done this for too long, and I don't want to drive that into the ground because it was such like a big part of my life, if that makes sense.
Right.
So And at the same time, too, I'll mention, you know, church is full of people, and just like in anything, man, we can do some crazy stuff. And so behind the scenes, I kind of witnessed some stuff, and I was like, yep, I think it's time for a break, man. It's time to kind of reset. So fast forward just a little bit. It was around COVID, when COVID was kind of, you know, knocking everybody's socks off. I had kind of exited out of this church that I was singing at, and I was like, okay, let's see what's going on. So I moved to Bend, Oregon, because I'd always wanted to move to Bend. I just thought it was a really cool spot. And there was no music going on or anything like that. It was, and I said, you know, man, this is the time to start over if there's ever one. So I moved out there, and I worked at a Safeway as a day stock, almost full time, more probably like 25 hours a week. And then I helped out at a buddy of mine's weed farm, like growing and learning how to grow and do all that. It was something I'd always kind of wanted to do. And I thought, well, you know, there's working in the church, and then there's that. Let's really get to the polar opposite. You know what I mean? Like, let's kind of really experiment here. Like, you know, so that was that was a positive thing for my life. All in all, it was. And so, I lived in that season of my life for about 8 months. I stayed in Bend, and it was cool, man. I learned a lot. That was very much a season where, kind of looking back, like, man, that really defined and set, like, kind of set up where I'm at now and the things I wanted to do. So anyway, I'm kind of, this is probably 6-7 months into that season, like a month before I ended up coming back to Idaho. But I was on the phone. I remember being on the phone with my dad, and I was just like, man, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I thought it was this one thing, and that wasn't exactly what I thought it was. And now I'm kind of got, you know, this training, but I don't, you know, like, man, you know, what's the next step? I don't necessarily want to raise my family in the whole day stock / weed growing thing environment. Right. Like, and to be clear with everybody, I don't like currently have like a wife and kids and all that, but I'm thinking for the future,
right?
Thinking for the future. I've all, you know, and so, I remember he's like, man, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I don't know, man. Like, you know, I've always thought like it's whatever God wants you to do. He's like, no. Like, you really need to think, like, you know, let's say you believe in that, man. That's great. Well, he gives you things that you may want to do, right? And so I never really asked myself that question, like kind of like, okay, well, man, what do I want to do with my life? And I'd been writing country music / like some bluegrassy stuff for fun, just purely for fun, I would say, over the past 5-6 years. But I kind of thought, because that wasn't in line with what I felt called to do, that it was sort of not the best, healthiest decision that I could have made. So it was always like a fun thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I sang at this club every once in a while called the Buffalo Club in Boise. Like, that was super fun, but ultimately decided to try the, you know, gospel stuff and yada, yada, yada. Anyway. So it was in that moment I really asked myself, man, like, okay, like, what do I want to do? Well, I love country music. And I remember saying this, I was like, man, I love it. I write it, like, but I don't think that it could like be a career or anything, you know. And my dad was like, dude, you don't know, man, just try it.
Yeah,
it's like, go for it, bro. Like, worst comes to worst, man, you can move back home, which we'd love.
Yeah,
but, you know, you can come back home or try to go back to working at Safeway.
Yeah,
or like go back to the gospel thing, whatever you want to. Like, he's like, man, you're young, dude, you got, like, who's relying on you right now? I was like, well, a 6-year-old German Shepherd golden retriever mix named Gunner. And he's like, Gunner will be fine, whatever you decide, you know what I mean, you'll be all right, or he'll be all right. So that's when I decided. I remember getting off the phone, and I just started calling venues I knew of. And I called some friends of mine that I knew were doing the country thing. This gal who's become like a mentor to me, her name's Desiree Bronson. She sang country music in the area for a long time. Still will come back. She lives in Baker City, Oregon now. But we will occasionally do like a concert or something
fun
together. But, you know, called her and was like, hey, like, you know, who should I be calling? But also just venues I knew of back in Idaho, because it was at this point Idaho was starting to open again. And so while Oregon wasn't booking anything, man, they were kind of locked down shut. Idaho was kind of, you know, testing the waters, right, and filling stuff out. So started calling a bunch of venues. And you know what? I was kind of expecting to maybe get like one or two for every 10, but almost every single one of them hit me back and said, yeah, man, we like what you sent in. Come on, like, come sing. Let's get you booked. And so I started driving back and forth to Idaho, or from Idaho, you know, from Oregon to Idaho almost every weekend for a couple months. And, you know, going to like Twin Falls or Burley or Boise or like Lewiston or whatever. And so that's when I kind of knew. I was like, all right, we're moving back to Boise. That's for sure happening, which I was happy, man. I always loved Boise. Like,
it's so
like
fun.
That's a good thing, yeah. But, you know, all in all, that's kind of when, within that first couple months, that I realized, hang on, like, this is, like, man, it's paying the bills. Like, I'm loving what I'm doing. Like, it's feeling at home. At the same time, I felt like I was drinking from, like, a fire hydrant with everything that I was learning and experiencing. Because, like, you know, I'd mostly done gospel music. And so these are, like, super different environments. We're not Sunday morning at a church. This is you, not, like, the set starts at 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
At, like, you know, Smoky Bar or whatever. And so, but man, it was, you know, like I said, just kind of like drinking from a fire hose for a while. And granted, I'm only just over a year into this thing. So there's a lot I'm still learning.
Wow.
But, you know, especially in those first few months, it was pretty crazy. But, yeah. So anyway, that's kind of, how I'm here now.
The question that I guess I, out of everything that you just said, want to have you explain a little bit more.
Sure.
Is you sitting down and having that conversation with your dad, but also you said, you know, that you had to figure out what you wanted, not right. what God wanted. Yeah. And I think that aspect, like, honestly blew my mind, because so many people do want, like, what does God want me to do? What is my path supposed to be? Or what is he showing me to do?
Yeah.
And for you to sit down and say, no, what do you want? He'll provide you with the things that you need.
Right.
But what does Jordan want?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think that's such a good question, man. And I'd be happy to elaborate. Let me first start off by saying, I want to give that just like a little bit more context.
Yeah.
So, I kind of carried, and I don't know if this was like, man, old mentors that kind of put this in my mind indirectly or what. And I don't even want to kind of go there because I don't know. But however it came to be, I kind of carried this subconscious belief that if I did anything outside of what I felt like God had called me to do with the gospel music or the worship stuff, that like my life was going to be cursed, and that, you know, the things that I maybe wanted or the good things that were supposed to like maybe come my way, that those things wouldn't happen.
Right.
And so, you know, at that age and, you know, I've chilled out a little bit, but like for me, a big thing was like, oh man, I'll never meet my future wife. Like God just won't bring her, 'cause I won't be blessed, 'cause I'll be doing all this other stuff. And man, yeah, I had to kill that, man. 'Cause that's not true. I think that, you know, And to be honest with you, I'm figuring out right now what I believe about God. Out of a lot of that, you know, that my career was not the only thing I was rethinking. I was rethinking my faith, like who I am as a man, my values, all of this stuff. So there's a lot of like reinvention
yeah.
happening. And so, you know, I would say that I have a faith in God, and I'm figuring out. I don't know that I would call myself a textbook Christian. Right now, I may end up back there, but I'm
right.
still very much in process. So all that said, you know, in sitting down in that moment, it was a moment very much brought on by, well, nothing else is seemingly working. And quite frankly, I'm not happy. Like things are going okay, but I don't feel fulfilled. I don't feel like I really am doing what I'm supposed to be doing, even though I kind of was, quote unquote, so to speak, or at least I thought. And so, following the, okay, well, I want to do the country thing. Cool. Walking through this kind of journey of self-discovery and, you know, all the things, you know, learning these lessons. It's only over the past couple of months that I'm now seeing, hang on, I think that's what God wanted me to do all along. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, I think that I and my limited mind was blocking like a lot of the things that I think God was wanting to do, and like, you know, explore some of that writing, man, explore some of that, like doing some of that. 'Cause I mean, I tell you, man, I feel like I've done a lot more good, like singing my songs, playing these venues, and then just like being available to people, man, loving people, being kind, like, still like, I think embracing those values. I think I've done a lot more good than I'd say maybe I did like actually working in the walls of a church.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's how it goes for everybody, but I think in my case, man, that was something that was huge. And so, yeah, shoot. I think that, you know, for those who are listening, man, if you're kind of in a place where you're wrestling with a tension between, you know, what you want and where you're at or whatever, man, like come up with a plan and go for it.
Yeah.
Just go for it. You know, it's never too late to kind of explore some of that stuff. And cause it's in your heart for a reason.
Yeah.
And also I really want to draw attention to the come up with a plan part first. I'm not telling anyone to recklessly quit their job or make a purchase that just isn't wise, man. You know, that plan, like when I did the Idaho, for example, coming to the country music, I had a plan, right? Now, did it all go to plan? No, but at least there was a plan to kind of fall back on or provide some guidance with. In fact, we were kind of just chatting before all this. I said something that a old friend of mine used to say to me all the time. He'd say, like, blessed are the flexible, they shall not break. And man, if you can live with that, you're gonna have a hell of a lot better time going through life than if you're to remain rigid with your plans and whatnot. So
absolutely. Anyway. And it's funny that you speak on the fact of having a plan, because my listeners know that when I started this podcast, I didn't have a plan.
There you go.
Rowdy. I just jumped off a ledge. I was like, I'll figure out how to build a parachute on the way down. And we're now, you know, going on to 30 weeks. Like, it's awesome. That's insane to me. But like you also mentioned, if it's in your heart, go for it.
Yeah.
What is the worst thing that you're going to do? Okay, go work at Safeway again. Cool. Well, absolutely. We need people that are there, you know, like
absolutely.
That doesn't mean that you're less of a person or less of what you're doing. It's just that's maybe how you need to get through that season of life onto the next thing that fulfills you.
Yeah.
And I think I am also learning this, you know, currently in my life situations, is that we do want to always go and, you know, feel fulfilled, but we can't do that every single day. You know, it is that plan that we're going on and that route that we're going on that fulfills us over the long term, then every single day feeling super excited about it and every single day feeling like, you know, on top of the world, of what we're doing. There are hard days, and I'm sure you know that, you know, having to reach out to venues, there's parts of it that I'm sure you don't like, you
100%.
Know?
Absolutely.
But all around, you are more happy with the person that you are and the person that you're becoming than having those thoughts of what if, or, you know, what if I do start this, where is this going to take me, or where is this going to lead me to next?
Right.
You did it. You know, you start. The hardest thing to do is start.
So it's kind of taking that leap. So with all that to say, I think I kind of want to revise what I may have mentioned then. I think it's really important. If you can have a plan, have the plan.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing unwise about that. Right. If you can't and the moment presents itself, dude, what are you going to lose?
Yeah.
Right. Like what are you going to lose?
Yeah.
And you know, take inventory of that stuff, but ultimately, I think it's really cool how your podcast came to be. I mean, this show and just kind of leaping into it, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, and kind of, you know, going off what you're saying about the just having maybe not so enjoyable parts about the job, right? I always kind of coin that as like there's a glamour to every side of a job and there's a grind, right? Mm-hmm. And so glamour for me in this is just, man, getting to meet all sorts of absolutely lovely people. Man, just lovely people. Like, I've got, 5 shows coming up this week. It's like a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing.
Wow.
Man, the part I look forward to the most is just like, man, who am I going to get to meet, man? What kind of conversations are we going to get to have? Like, you know, and I've gotten to just meet some absolutely fabulous people that have then continued to come to my shows or whatever, or follow my music and stuff. But you know, an example of the grind very much is the, like, you know, calling a venue or reaching out or doing the accounting side of things. Like, man, I failed like high school math. I did. That's a true story. I failed. In fact, I remember being so bad at math and trying so hard. Like, my parents had hired a tutor and all that because they know, like, dude, like, if he can get 2 + 2 right, like, it's a win. But I remember being a junior at East Meck High School and working hard. And I remember taking the exam and my math teacher came up to me and he said, hey man, I just want to let you know you failed the exam. And I'm really sorry about that because I know you've been working hard. I was like, oh man, well, I guess I'll see you next year. He's like, no, well, like, you know, I've kind of done some thinking. And I was like, "Well, what you got?" He said, "If you promise to never take another math at this high school and be done, I will pass you, but you have to be done. That's it. I cannot like sign it." And I was like, "All right, done deal, man. Like, sign me up. That's cool." And so, I did. That's the only way I passed math. And then I did have to take it. Like, I did a year of college before I moved to Atlanta and did all that. And I did have to take it in college, and I failed that. But whatever. So
you're like, it's fine.
That's part of it.
Did you complete college, or did you just do 1 year?
I did not. No, I didn't. I didn't complete college. I did a year, and then I had an opportunity to go down and be a part of that residency kind of. It's like work slash real life, like kind of seeing gospel ministry work. And it's a really good program. And so I wanted to, there was a lot of incentive for me to go down there and be a part of it. I was actually the youngest to ever start and graduate that program.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of my classmates were a good deal, not a good deal, but you know, like mid-20s.
Yeah.
And I was 18, 19, 19, I think. Yeah, just for 19. So.
So what was cool. The thought when they were like, hey, we, like, how was that discussion, I guess, coming to Boise, going from there to now Boise? Like,
Right. So at the end, so it's like a 2-year thing, right? And the whole thing is that then you go and you go and work at a church or be involved or something like kind of in line with your calling, right? It's pretty cool, like a pretty cool idea. And so there was a guy who was wanting to plant a church out here in Boise, and he saw me on their website, and he reached out and said, hey, and I, you know, was talking to a few other churches at the time, but I came out and visited, and I just felt like this is exactly where I was supposed to be. Now I was only there a year, but working in that specific role, and like it was fine. Like all stuff, it has its issues and stuff, but like whatever, man. But Idaho always felt like home, so that's why I stayed here. It's why I continued to do. I mean, I worked odd jobs while also maybe singing like gospel, some volunteer, and then kind of working for another church for a little bit. And, you know, so it was always kind of in the mix, but I did all sorts of kind of random stuff in that. But it was about 2 years ago or 3 years ago where I moved to Oregon, and then 2 years ago where I moved back from Oregon, that kind of whole thing. So, yeah.
When you were growing up, I mean, did you know about a lot of the West Coast? Like, I feel like
growing up,
I don't know a lot of where you're from, you know?
Sure.
So how was that, like, culturally? Because you do now, you sing country music, right? And you don't look like a country man. Sorry.
Sure.
But like, that's just like your persona, right? Like singing and doing those things. Like, you're not a cowboy, you know, like I could be wrong, but
don't let skinny jeans fool you. Don't let it fool you.
Okay. We're going to take Raw Thoughts podcast out to the farm, and we're going to video you on a horse.
Done. I won't even put a saddle. We'll just bareback, man. That's fun.
But like, how, you know, like when they first were like, you know, reaching out to you from like Boise, Idaho, were you like, what is Idaho? Where is Idaho? Like, what is that culture like, you know?
Right.
Environment.
Well, like most Southerners, I embrace the idea that Idaho was Iowa.
Yeah.
And that's like most of the South. In fact, man, I had a couple buddies of mine. I had been in Idaho, I want to say like 6 months. And this guy, he's like, man, we're going to come visit you, man. We got the weekend off. And I was like, no way. Awesome. Like, come on out. And he's like, yeah, man, I'm going to hop in this guy's truck and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, you going to drive here? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, dude, it's like 13-hour drive. And I'm like, no, like try like 4 days, bro. You know what I mean? And he goes, hang on. And he's like, wait, I've been thinking of Iowa this whole time. And I said, yeah, it's okay, man. That's what I thought of when I was, you know, looking out here and all that. So I really didn't know a whole lot about the West Coast, you know, like California. Everybody knows California, right? But like, you know, Washington, Oregon, like you just don't hear a lot about it in the South. And so, and I'm not going to speak for all Southerners on that. Like, I'm sure, but just as a kid, like we didn't like, you know, we weren't thinking about that stuff or whatever. And so, Idaho, you just think, you know, like everybody, man, you think potatoes and maybe some cornfields and real rural area. And that's why when I came out here, man, I was just so surprised to see like what was actually going on in the Treasure Valley. And it's like, wow, man, lose some stereotypes right out of the water.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would say that's kind of culturally where I was at, so to speak.
Yeah. It is funny because the Southerners definitely do think, you know, that Idaho is Iowa. I was in an externship for my paramedic in Louisiana. And anybody, like, they're like, you're not from here. I'm like, no, I'm not. you know, I'm from Idaho. And they're like, Iowa? Oh, I've been there a couple times. I'm like, oh, like, where at? You know? Awesome. And, like, they were so off on everything. I was like, okay, wrong state, but that's okay. And it's just, it's funny to see other people's perspectives because I was, you know, I was born in Washington, but I've been raised here since I was one. Like, this is, you know, this is my home. This is, I've watched it develop. I've watched it grow. I've traveled lots of other places and seen different environments and cultures of their cities. But it's always interesting to hear, like, what people's perspective is from where I've grown up. So it is. It's funny that you say that about Iowa and Idaho. We even have a t-shirt. Banana Ink has a t-shirt.
Yep. You know, I've seen that t-shirt. Yeah, I should buy that, man. That's good. That's real good.
Send that back to your buddies.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to add to that, you know, because I don't want, you know, it seemed like nobody in the South knows where anything else is, man. That's not true. What I would like to add is that I think as humans, we tend to focus on our own world.
Yes.
What's in front of us, right? So where I'm at, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Georgia, you know, man, if you're growing up out here, probably Oregon, Washington, yeah. Montana, Nevada, that kind of thing. And so, and that applies to, you know, more than just geography, right? That's, I think, a very human thing is we have a tendency to focus on, like, what's in our world? And even if we hear about something else, sometimes there's a disconnect, yeah. right? And so, in fact, I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm going to share it anyway. I was just in the Middle East not too long ago. I'm half Palestinian. Okay. So my dad is, a lot of his family comes from Tennessee. And, you know, he's probably as Tennessee as they come. But my mom, her parents came from Palestine and Syria in that area. And so I have a lot of family over there. So never been over there before. And I had some family that just always have wanted to meet. And some I knew, but they were over there. And I said, man, I'm just going to buy a ticket. We're going to do it. So I went out there. And it was an incredible trip. But it was, you know, one of the many stories I carried away. There's there are areas and parts of the country of Jordan, which is where I was, that are extremely poor, extremely impoverished. And I had heard about that, but it didn't really, like, hit home and truly break my heart until I saw, like, a mom and her kids just, like, going from empty house to empty house or something, just trying to find, like, food and a place to live and things like that. And so, again, I think human nature sort of lends itself more to, we have a tendency, okay, what's in our world? And we might hear about some poverty or something, you know, outside, exterior of that. But man, it sometimes takes just us, like, really either meditating on it or seeing it for ourselves, being in the moment to feel the weight of that, if that makes sense.
And no, so, it absolutely does, because, you know, I remember as a kid, you know, if you don't finish your dinner, you know, your parents would always say, like, oh, they're starving children. And we were like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, I'm still going to throw it away. And then back in 2018, I did a medical mission and went to Haiti. And, wow. You know, poverty and seeing the people. And I was actually just talking to somebody this past weekend about one of the stories where these two girls saw our Tap Tap going by. They knew that we were going to be, you know, providing a village for them for medical care. Yeah. They had hiked over 5 miles. They were like 6-7 year old girls, and they were coming on behalf of their family. And like you said, I mean, you experiencing those things, us talking about it, us showing kids on TV, you will never know until sometimes you are there and you experience it for yourself and you do feel that weight on you of, like, wow, this is what's happening in the rest of the world. And right now we're worried about how fast we can get to the next place or what we're having for lunch. You know, like, we have so many options.
Yeah.
And more people in the U.S. don't have clean water than they do. Like, and for us to even say that and be so progressive, you know, and we're fighting over these astronomical things. It's like, we're fighting about things that honestly don't even matter. And we still have people in the world that don't have clean water. Like, we are on such different spectrums right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that you can go back to kind of where your family, you know, is from and see that culturally and be able to kind of pay your respect to that place and that heaviness of, you know, there is more life than us. You know?
100%.
There really is. And it's hard to describe that to people. You know, it's hard to describe that to the young. Even my nephews, like it's been maybe 6-7 years ago. I was like, I'm not buying you guys Christmas gifts anymore. I buy them experiences. So we've done hockey games. We've done just numerous things throughout the years. And last year, we were going to Mexico. So I bought them a adventure package. Basically went zip lining and on these horses, like this whole event day. That was their Christmas present.
That's cool.
And
so zip lining on a horse. How'd they get the horse on the zip line?
We took them. They were mules. That's what they were. Oh, so we cool. took the mules. We were at the bottom. Cool. We took the mules to the top. And wow. I'm going to tell you right now, that was the scariest thing out of the entire day. Because like your clip on this side, the people would, you know, whistle and the mules would just take off. And I'm like dropping it, you know, like we got our helmets on. My niece, her mules, like going up the mountain, just like stuck.
Like, no way.
All of us were like, okay, we would have rather just hiked up this thing. When we were driving out there, we were going through, you know, it was very remote. Like, okay, we've been in a resort. They've experienced that. They were 12 at the time. And then we go out, you know, through very, you know, true Mexico. And same thing, we're in a tap-tap. I don't remember what they call them in Mexico. I just know that from Haiti. But we go past a school. And I remember one of my nephews making a remark. And he just had never been in that experience before. He was like, oh, this is what they have to play with? And I'm like, this is all they have. Like, this is when we tell you, like, how privileged you are. These are the things that we're describing to you of why you're so privileged and why we're so thankful the way that we are, you know, and where we live and the way that we've grown up is because they don't have, you know, they're doing the best that they can with what they have.
Sure.
And, you know, I think that's also life. Like, you do the best that you can with what resources you have, you know, whether it be, you know, like you said, hey, I'm going to take this leap and I'm going to go and play my country music. But I always have the resource that I could go back and get hired at a fast food, or I could go back and, you know, work at Safeway. Like there are other opportunities around you that you have because we are so resourceful, you know, here.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that like, and you know, I know for me personally coming back from that, I came back to the United States with a lot of perspective. And, you know, in what I'm doing right now, there's not a lot I can do to initiate any type of change in Jordan or the Middle East or be abundantly helpful. However, like what I can do is like do good things and put kindness forward in my world here.
Yeah.
Right. Or with whatever opportunity might present itself. So one of the churches I used to sing for, man, they had this, it's like a, I don't know if it was like a phrase or saying that, but they said it all the time. It was called, it would say, change your world. Like, and I think that's so powerful in that it kind of forces you to, one, evaluate what your world is, right? And then two, like, what breaks your heart in it? And do something about that. And so, like, here's the thing, man. The country music thing's fun. It's good. I love writing. Very cathartic for me. I love performing. Like, man, when I stepped up on the stage to open up for Jody, I just felt like, man, I'm made for this. This is cool. At the same time, like, the stuff that really fulfills me is the conversations, the engagement, the people, being able to do, you know, maybe take more time because I don't work a traditional 9-to-5 to if I see a need to do something. Most recently is probably a week or two ago, something like that. No, probably more than that, about 2 weeks ago. There's been some illegal dumping going on south of CUNA. And there's always been kind of like little things here and there, like people throwing bonfires. I'm like, man, I get it, dude. Like, I'm kind of redneck. Like, I love going out there, making like a little fire or something, as long as it ain't like fire season or whatever. Like, that is what it is, man. And but it's gotten, or it had gotten so bad to where I think someone lit like an RV out there on fire and was dumping just bags of trash and all sorts of stuff. And so, you know, my first call was to BLM and like saying, hey, Bureau of Land Management, right? And just saying like, hey guys, like, man, you aware of this? And they're like, oh, we're aware. We're trying to figure it out. There's not like a lot we can do, right? Like our hands are kind of tied. I'm like, well, okay, well, I get that. And I was like, well, man, I might ask some buddies of mine and go, and we might just clean this up. Will that get in the way of what you're trying to do with whoever you might be talking to? And he's like, nope, please do that. Because then what happens is, you know, people see trash out there and they think, okay, well, this is an okay place to dump. And so it gets worse. So I remember taking just a couple people, man. We went out there and we spent, was it Sunday or Saturday? Yeah, some weekend a couple weeks ago. And we cleaned up as much as we could, man. We filled a 16-foot horse trailer and a 12-foot utility trailer full of, like, scrap metal and appliances and all sorts of crazy stuff. Found a big old rattlesnake.
I did see that picture.
Man, that's about as big as they get. We thought by the count of his rattler, man, he was probably 8 or 9 years old. And he wasn't too happy we were moving his home, but I was like, dude, your home's a burned up RV. You gotta go somewhere else. But anyway, we worked all day, and it's still only about, I would say, 2/3 done. We've got another third to go back and find time to finish that job. I say all that to say, not to say like, oh man, we did this good thing, great. Man, where you see a need, just do something about it, right? And I tell you, even though we're not finished, and it was hard, and there's no guarantee that people won't dump there again, right? That's not the point. There is a lot of like comfort and assurance and just knowing like, hey man, like we could have done anything that day, and we chose to do something about something that broke our heart.
Right.
You know, and it was as simple as just picking up scrap metal and garbage and all that. So,
but I think doing that good faith and putting that back into the world is that's not only refilling your cup, but I think that's also refilling society's cups, where they start seeing those things, you know, like listeners go, you know, follow Jordan on his social media, like for people to see that, like even if you're not trying to, you know, that's not what your intent was, right? Was to be like, oh, I'm great. And this is what I'm doing, you know, for our community. Yeah, no, like way. That's not what some people do that for sure. You're a very genuine person in those aspects.
Thank you.
And it's also refilling other people's cups, where you're like, oh, not everybody is bad. What we're seeing in the news isn't the world, you know, who people are surrounding themselves with, that isn't who their world is. You know, there's other people. You can change that. Like your church does say, like, you can change your world. Like, you're in control of it.
Yeah, 100%.
You really 100%.
Are. Yeah, you can always control how you react to things. You can't control other people, but you can always control your side of the story, right? Yeah. And so I think that there is a ton. I mean, hell, you know, you want to talk about being fulfilled. Man, there is a ton of fulfillment that comes from, you know, consciously making like selfless decisions, you know, based on what's going on in your world and reacting positively to something when deep down you may want to either ignore or react negatively to, or kind of stay in your own lane. And so, yeah, it's kind of, you know, and we're kind of coming full circle here. It gets back to, you know, this is where you see something, just take the leap, right? You know, whether it's something you want to do, like your podcast or My Country Music. Same's true with something that breaks your heart. Dude, take the leap. Like, I don't have any type, like, really any type of experience to clean it up, what we went and cleaned up, but bothered me.
Yeah.
That was it. I was just out there hanging out with my pup, and it saw me and bothered me. And so, and you do something about it, right?
And you figure it out. Like, if it's upsetting you, like, you'll figure it out. You'll find the resources, even if you don't have them. Like, you'll figure it out.
Yep. And you'll find that chances are it breaks other people's hearts.
Yeah.
Like, which was true of that day. That's why people came out and helped. And you know, or even just expressed that they wanted to, right? Like, which is something. I think that's huge at the end of the day.
And I think a lot of people need somebody else to take that initiative. They don't want to be the first one. They're the kind of, you know, the shy ones in the back where, yes, it does bother them, but, you know, they've got other things going on, or maybe it's not at their highest priority of concern. But then where you say, hey, I don't have a 9-to-5 job. I do have time. I can rally people together, right. You know, and then you have kind of started that, and all they need to do is jump on the train and keep go with you. Like, right. That's a lot easier and a lot less resistance for them than having to do everything that you've just already done.
Sure. Yeah, sure. And it's just really, you know, there's no prescription for this, yeah. Right? Everyone's different, man. We all have different circumstances going on in our lives and stuff. It's just about, you know, seeing something that breaks your heart and thinking, hey, man, is there anything I can do about that?
Yeah.
Right? And if there truly isn't anything in that moment, maybe something will present itself later on down the road and you can. So, you know, don't exempt yourself or lose heart or anything like that. But, I think all that, you know, all of that stuff just kind of ties together. And I think that, you know, if we could kind of theme this conversation so far, it really comes down to, man, just getting out of your comfort zone and doing something a little bit different. You know, when we started our talk, I kind of talked about the one brave thing I did every day as a kid, just to not be so shy.
Yeah.
And,
do you still do that?
You know, not as much anymore, because I feel now like I'm in front of people all the time. I mean, just even being on your show, which, again, I really appreciate you having me.
Yeah.
This was just scared me to death.
Really?
Oh my goodness. Yes, probably till I was, again, I didn't say a word. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So it's crazy that how sometimes our weaknesses can eventually become, like, what I call a strength, I don't know, but I mean, I guess it's tolerable. You know what I mean?
Like, it's more comfortable
it's
than
more
what
comfortable,
you, yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, sure. So,
which is so funny, right. Because the day that I met you, it was out at Nikki Van List's farm, Lovely Hollow, which right. She'll be episode 29. So definitely check out her episode. But you had sang, it was her opening, you know, night. And you were actually, there was a gentleman telling you a story about how one of the songs that you had sang was like his grandpa's favorite song. Like, it was very...
Oh, it was Country Roads.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, he had a very big tie to that. He was sharing his story with you. And then, you know, kind of finished up with that. And I'm one of those people where when my, you know, my award when I was a kid was I was the talkative one. And it's still
That's
very
cool.
true to this day
That's
where,
cool.
you know, on my report cards or all of the teachers were like, you know, we just had to tell McKinsey to not talk, you know, today. And I'm like, well, right. they knew right off the top that I was a talker because I was always interested. I was always interested. Like, what is everybody else doing?
Sure. And yeah, sure.
Not about my math either. And so he was telling his story, and I just remember being like, this is somebody that should come on and tell theirs. Like, you, I'm sure, have so many people expressing, you know, how songs relate to them or what they're doing or, you know, where they're going. But it's like, where's Jordan's time? You know, like, right. yes, you sang some of the songs that, you know, you do sing aren't your songs, like, right. you know, and that's part of what you do. But it's always interesting of like the people that always get, you know, stuff told to them or people flock to them don't sometimes have the time to tell their stories or tell right. how they are in life or, you know, what's impacting them. And I just remember like, hey, I have a podcast. You want to come on? And you're like, yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, let's do it, man. That's cool.
Which is fun, yeah. Which is super fun. And I have appreciated you coming on and hearing more, you know, about like what makes you, because I think we all, like you have mentioned, we just see our world, you know, right. and we have different experiences, and that's how our world changes, and that's how our perspective changes. And, you know, that is one of my biggest drives with this podcast is to bring a variety of people on, not have boundaries, have it very limitless, because, you know, what you could have said may enlighten somebody else and they not be a country fan or them not like country music, but that doesn't mean that they can't still learn something and, you know, by their experience and help change their world or enlighten their world a little bit different, that that isn't how everybody thinks or that isn't how everybody lives their life. You can change it, and you can bring different people into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and to kind of, and first off, I love that. I love that perspective. I do. I think that's so valuable. And to kind of expand on that too, you know, my identity isn't country singer songwriter. Right. I don't draw my worth or value from that, right? Like, I'm a human on this planet, right? We're all humans on this planet. And I think that we can, because we're very physical, right? Like, we put these labels on, and then we take on these labels. And then, you know, if we're good at it or maybe have a gift at it, we can kind of be tempted or gravitate towards drawing our value from that or identity from that. But man, you cannot live that way. And yeah. the reason I can say that so confidently is because I used to. And dude, there is no quicker path to misery than drawing your identity and worth from like something like a label on you. And so I think actually the song I kind of want to play for you at some point today.
You can play it whenever you like.
Kind of stems from this, you know. It's a tune I wrote a few months ago, and it's called Country to Me. And I wrote it for a few reasons. One, it kind of came out of this surface level thing that it's a comment I get a lot. Like, bro, you don't look country. You have the Southern accent thing going. You're from Carolina, but you know, I'm in my skinny jeans, man. I got whatever. Is this a snapback? Is this what these hats are? Yeah. Whatever. See, I don't know. Whatever. I just know I like it. But you know, and so I kind of wanted to write a song because it made me think. I always think out of that. Well, what is country then? You know. What does that look? How did that look get coined, or what does that really mean? So part of it was kind of out of that surface level thing, and that's no big deal, whatever. Like, I don't even mind that. But I also wanted to write a song that kind of stemmed from a lot of what I was brought up in as a kid, and my parents like really made sure to teach my younger sister and I, you know, what living country was truly like all about. And to them, that's way more about what's on the inside than what's on the outside. Do I live that perfectly? Absolutely not. No, 100%, man. It's a daily thing, but, it's still a belief that I hold very, very dear. And, you know, kind of to break that down, cause it sounds a little abstract. And, so outside country stuff, let's associate that with like, man, you know, jacked up trucks, hunting, fishing, riding horses, you know, the stuff that you might think of, right? Like country music or putting on riding boots, going cowboys, swing dancing, right? And I love swinging, all that stuff. It's fun. And I love all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not much of a hunter, but it's more just a time thing. But, you know, I can appreciate all those things. But I really do believe at the end of the day, living the country lifestyle boils down to, you know, what's the inside country stuff, which I would coin as, like, man, being somebody of good character, having good integrity, being selfless, kind of a lot of what we were talking about, man. You know, if something breaks your heart, did you do something about it? Did you go the extra mile? Right. And so that, yeah, you know, I think that all in all, that's kind of where I was trying to write to, so to speak. So yeah, at some point I'll play that song. Then
break it out.
You want to do it right now?
No better time than right now.
Wow. Well, there just happens to be a guitar sitting right here. You know, I always keep it in my back pocket.
You always got it on.
I just kind of get, yeah, it's just always there. I was happy to bring it though. Yeah, let's see what we got. Oh, let's move this guy. Just kind of feeling like playing some Beyonce right now. Is that? Do it. I'm just playing. I don't think I know any. I had one girl I was playing a show. This had to have been a few weeks ago. It's out in Twin Falls, and she probably had a little bit to drink that night. There's nothing wrong with that. I certainly had. She was like, hey, do you know any Beyonce? And I was like, ma'am, I don't know that I've ever played her, but let me try. And what do? We did like a chorus of Single Ladies or something like that. And she had fun with it.
Oh,
it was cool.
That's fun.
Yeah, I try to usually make stuff like that happen for people. Cool. But I guarantee I didn't get it right. It was more of a, it was very much a Hail Mary. Yeah.
She probably felt like it was perfect, though.
That's cool. That's cool. All right, you ready?
You go for it.
Let's do it.
Thank you.
I drive an 06 Yukon XL. Ain't much of a sight, she's treated me well. Won't get me a girl, but she'll get me A to B. Yeah, the truck that she drive ain't country to me. And I ain't got a ranch, but maybe someday. Yeah, I'll make a little money and head on that way. But for now, I just rent a room off Bloomsbury Street. Yeah, the house you call home ain't country to me. And if I could suggest a few things, just put family first, take pride in your work, walk that extra mile. Even when it hurts, stand your ground, no matter the cost. And when life throws you down, rise up from the loss. Cause you can put a label on any old thing, but it's what's on the inside's country to me. Yeah, I've been on the muddy, a good pair of boots, heading down to that honey hole tucked back in the woods. But any old asshole can't fish out a creek. Yeah, the stuff that you like ain't country to me. Just put family first, take pride in your work, walk that extra mile. Even when it hurts, stand your ground, no matter the cost. And when life throws you down, rise up from the loss. Cause you can put a label on any old thing, but it's what's on the inside's country to me. Yeah, that's country to me. Yeah, that's country to me. Yeah, it ain't your truck, the boots on your feet. Yeah, country stuff ain't what country means. Just put family first, take pride in your work, walk that extra mile, even when it hurts. Stand your ground, no matter the cost. And when life throws you down, rise up from the loss. Cause you can put a label on any old thing, but it's what's on the inside's country to me. Yeah, you can put a label on any old thing, but it's what's on the inside's country to me. That's country to me. Yeah, that's country to me. There you go.
Very impressive.
Oh my goodness. There it is, man. That's it. That's hilarious.
Good job, Ryland. That was awesome.
Cool. I appreciate it.
Yes. Okay. Well, I also have to say how true that song is. You know, for many people, I think not just country, but I think, you know, the labels, the, you know, titles and what Anna Lee, you know, had said, the accolades, like we always are chasing those things.
Right.
And
yeah.
It really is what's inside us and what our heart is being fulfilled by and breaking by that makes us as humans.
Yeah, absolutely. Song really boils down. It's just, man, doing right by other people. Man, yeah. and having good integrity, you know. And again, I just want to be overly clear. It's not a knock against the outside country stuff.
Right.
I think sometimes it can, like the song can be interpreted that way, and that's not the intent. That's not where I think, that's not where the writing goes. It's just to prove a point and to try to explain a belief that I hold that, you know, country is about, like, being someone of good character and integrity. And that doesn't mean getting it right all the time. Like I said, like I mentioned earlier, man, I get, you know, I think I have to ask forgiveness quite a bit, you know, because I don't always like get it right by any means at all. But, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, the heart can't go there. Right. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you throw your hands up in the air and kind of just say, okay, well, let's not live by conviction then. Like, let's just kind of whatever. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, the heart of the song and the heart of, you know, why it was written is just like, doesn't matter how you dress, doesn't matter what you do, just try to be somebody of good integrity, man. Try to do right by people, right? So, yeah.
Well, I think that wraps up us for today. Cool. I am so thrilled that you were able to come on. I would love for you to tell people how they can find you on, you know, Instagram or social media, or where they can find, you know, how to come to one of your shows and support you.
Sure thing. Well, I appreciate you having me today. Yeah. Seriously, this has been really fun. So if you want to come to a show or check out my music or follow along with this kind of insane journey that's just unfolding, man, if you follow on Instagram, Facebook, I have a website with this handle, Jordan Shaw Country. And there's no spaces in those words. It's just Jordan Shaw Country. That's how you can find where I'm playing, as well as songs I've got links to my Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon. I've got a couple tunes that I recorded down in Nashville that are out on all that. So you can give those a listen. But yeah, I think the social platform I'm probably most active on is Instagram. And so if you got an Instagram, man, follow me there, Jordan Shaw Country. I'd love to hear from you. And I know my schedule through the end of this month is up, and I'm about to post October, November, December. So that's coming, and that'll be here in probably a week or two. But yeah, that's the best way to kind of track with me and all the craziness that's going on right now. So, man, if somebody's crazy enough to come to these 5 shows in a row here, I think they're all in the Treasure Valley, you know? No, I'm just playing.
That'd be pretty fun.
That would be pretty fun. It would be. Yeah, I believe I'm back at Lovely Hollow where we met. Yes. Tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow night. Fun. Yeah, absolutely. So
she's amazing.
Yeah, Nikki's the best. She's pretty cool.
So. She's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Well, I do appreciate you, like I said, coming on here, sharing your story, sharing your song. I encourage all of my listeners to go also follow, like, subscribe to all of his social media, his Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, also make sure you follow, like, and subscribe to Raw Thoughts Podcast. I still would absolutely love if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. It's been so inspiring just watching how many lives that this podcast has been able to touch, even with the diversity of people that I bring on here. These last couple weeks, just with teen suicide prevention, has just had my heart fulfilled, but also a very big hole in it, because we do need to take more steps to it. So exactly what we've been talking about today, filling our hearts, but also, you know, seeing where our hearts are broken and what we need to do about that. So like I said, I would love for you guys to head over to Apple Podcast and write a review. Other than that, I will see you next Wednesday for yet another episode. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Jordan. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review, as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.